Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Oregon Live's Andrew Nemec. Brought to you by Power Rents, your local family-owned independent equipment rental company in Portland, Salem, and Vancouver. Online at powerrents.com.
Cooey!
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. We missed last week. Next week, there's a Seahawks game. So we've got some updating to do on this week's show, and a lot has gone on because since we were last on the air, Oregon State beat USC and things have changed for them on the recruiting trail, and the Oregon Ducks are kind of still doing Oregon Duck stuff, but because they're good at recruiting, there's kind of always something going on when it comes to the Oregon Ducks. And of course, this week, that's the case yet again, because Devin Jackson, the number 12 linebacker in the country, the number 106 overall prospect, is announcing his commitment Saturday down to Arizona State, Miami, and Oregon. If you are an insider subscriber on Oregon Live, I wrote a story about this before he set his commitment date that, hey, Devin Jackson is about to set a commitment date and he's choosing Oregon. So he set the commitment date and I think he's choosing Oregon. And the reason I say that is, had a chance to talk to him before his visit to Oregon, very excited about that trip. And then after that visit, he was ready to shut it down. He has not told me I'm going to Oregon. I want to be very clear. If an athlete ever tells me directly I'm going to Oregon, I'll say, well, this is my prediction. I'm not positive. We'll see. But if a kid hasn't told me, I feel pretty comfortable talking about it. So Devin Jackson, very high on Oregon entering his trip. We saw that a little bit on 24/7 Sports. That was the same intel I had. You saw predictions coming in that he was going to choose Oregon. He takes that visit and then tells me 24 hours before he announces it, I'm going to shut down my recruitment and announce a commitment this week. So he's committing on Saturday. I think it's going to be Oregon, and I think this is a massive get for the Ducks. It's like the fourth or fifth highest rated commitment in their class of 2022, a class that is ranked right now seventh nationally. If they get Devin Jackson on Saturday, they jump Ohio State for number six. And this class, as far as Oregon classes go of the last three or four, in terms of raw talent, this isn't necessarily their best class. I don't think this class is even close. To the one that had Justin Flo and Noah Sewell. And I think what we're going to see is Oregon's way ahead, way out in front when it comes to number of commitments. If Devin Jackson commits, they'll have 21 commitments. There are many, 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 many schools that are behind Oregon just slightly or by a lot that have far fewer commitments. So where this class is going to settle is probably in the 10 to 15 range because they're going to stop at 23, 24, 25. And that means they only have three, four, five more commitments to get. There are teams directly behind them that have 13 commitments, 14 commitments. They might get 10 more. And with those 10 more, they would jump Oregon. So Oregon's class, it's not fool's gold. It's still one of the best classes in program history. It's still a top 10 or 15 class in the nation. It's a great class, but it's not as good as the classes they've had the last few years. And people who say, well, man, if they're seven now, and with this commitment, they move to six, and it's only late September, although it'll be October when he announces his commitment. God, if they've got a couple more months and they're number three in the country, they'll just fill out and get five more guys and climb way up. It's not going to work like that. That's not how it works. You only have a set number of commitments. Oregon got a lot of work done early. Where we will see the momentum, and we're already seeing some of it, is in the class of 2023. But Devin Jackson is a huge piece, 6'2", 200 pounds. And how about this as a junior? He's a linebacker. He's not a safety. He's not a blazing fast running back. He's not a wide receiver. He ran a 10.500 meter time as a junior in high school. That is crazy, crazy, crazy fast. That wins the state track meet in some states. He might be the fastest high school athlete in multiple states if he just was a track guy. But he's mostly a football player, and he's mostly a linebacker. This is a guy that in modern football can drop back into coverage really nicely. You can have him bend the edge as a rusher because of his just pure speed. If he wants to go around you and he has to take a wide berth to get around you, he still will because he's so fast. He can pick up a running back in the flat on little dump offs and still kind of help out shallow on receivers and then just pick up the running back, close and make a play. Or he can play man to man and potentially pick up a tight end and stay with them and run with them rather easily. This is a guy that could do a lot of things. And you look at that running or that linebacker room, it's very, very talented. Five-star linebacker Justin Flo, five-star linebacker Noah Sewell, Adidas All-American selection Keith Brown. They're loaded. But there is no one guy that you say, man, that guy is just raw, blazing speed. Noah Sewell, very fast for his size, but he's a thumper. Justin Flo, big hitter, big body, very fast for his size. Not a speedy linebacker, not a speedster. Devin Jackson's the missing piece, or is a missing piece in that linebacker room. He gives you something you don't currently have, even with as good a linebacker room as you have. He brings a new element. And you start looking at this linebacker crew, they are very, very, very talented. If Devin Jackson commits, he'll join T.J. Dudley. T.J. Dudley is a four-star linebacker who also from the state of Alabama who had an early offer from Alabama. Good football player. That's a good group of linebackers. Oregon continuing to add to their potential linebacker room of the future. And where we see this momentum coming, I said just a couple minutes ago, Oregon's big momentum from beating Ohio State, being number three in the nation, that's not going to come in this class. There's just not enough spots. Maybe a five-star guy goes, hey, I'm going to take a visit to Oregon. They're having a great year, and they surprise people and get them. That might happen. But because you only have a couple of spots, you really don't have an opportunity to capitalize in a huge way in 2022. There just aren't enough spots left. After Saturday, you probably have 21 commitments. But in 2023, we're seeing that ball rolling. And you go, Nimick, how could you possibly see that? There's no commitments in the 2023 class. And we saw a great example of what I've been hearing behind the scenes this week, and it came out publicly. Five-star corner Tony Mitchell out of Alabama, he announced his top seven. Whole bunch of SEC and ACC schools. And then Oregon. The nation's number one athlete, the number one athlete in 2023, Samuel Mpemba. At IMG Academy, normally out of Missouri. He grew up in Missouri. He went to IMG Academy in Florida because they're a big powerhouse for high school. He releases a top 12 last week. Oregon's not on it. 8 days later, he's like, quick amendment. It's now a top 13. I'm putting Oregon on the list. And you look at those 12, and it was all SEC, ACC, Big Ten. No Pac-12 schools, obviously no Mountain West schools. Oregon has become the it program for recruits in the East and the South. It used to be USC. You used to see that with five-star guys from Florida. Maybe they were from New Jersey, Ohio, you know, Georgia, East, back East. You used to see that a lot, that they would have, you know, Florida, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, and USC. That's not the case anymore. Now, it's Oregon. Yeah, I have all schools east of the Mississippi. And then if I do decide to leave home, Oregon. It'll be Oregon. I'm going to go check out Oregon. They're not going to get all those kids. They're probably not going to even get Tony Mitchell, the five-star corner out of Alabama. Nick Saban's not going to let it happen. But if 12 of those guys in the South only have one West Coast school, and it's Oregon, and 10 to 20% of kids decide they want to leave home for school, I'm making up a number. It just seems that every year, whether it's Texas or Florida or Georgia or Ohio, every year there's a handful of kids that just want to get completely away from their surroundings at home. And if Oregon's the it school on the in the West Coast, they're going to be the program that benefits. Just like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, USC was that school that benefited when the kid, random kid from New Jersey, is like, I don't want to be on the East Coast anymore. I don't want to play in Florida anymore. I want something new. I want to be a West Coast guy. The school is going to be Oregon. And that's what I keep hearing from top recruits. Yes, Oregon's going to do well in California. How could they not? USC is a dumpster fire. Cal is a dumpster fire. Arizona State still has, what, three or four members of the staff not even around? Arizona sucks. Stanford's not the power they once were. Now, I think this weekend's game is going to be actually tough. But in terms of recruiting, Stanford's not the power they once were. UCLA's starting to figure it out, but they don't have their recruiting situation figured out. Washington, for a couple weeks there, felt like maybe a year, was a pretty good recruiter. Not under Jimmy Lake and not under this version of Washington that seems to be a dumpster fire. The West Coast is wide open because the Pac-12 sucks. And Oregon is number three in the country and just beat Ohio State. They're going to do fine in California. They've got the ties and the California schools and all the traditional powers in the Pac-12 are down. That's a recipe to kill it on the West Coast. They already have. They're going to continue to do that. They built inroads in Texas this year. They got five-star offensive tackle Kelvin Banks. They've got five players from Texas, and four of them are blue-chip recruits. Nicholas Anderson is the guy kind of people seem to think is an afterthought for some reason. He's an Under Armour All-American and the number seven wide receiver in the country. And we all think about Cameron Williams because he chose Oregon over Oklahoma and Texas. We think about Kelvin Banks because he's a five-star recruit. We think about Steven Johnson because he showed up to Saturday Night Live as a three-star prospect and tore it up and everybody went, there's no way this kid's a three-star prospect. So you've got Texas. Now, you're not going to blanket dominate Texas, but you've opened inroads in Texas. You've established a pipeline in Texas. The Pac-12's down. You should kill it on the West Coast like you have for the past 3 years. Oh, yeah, and by the way, now SEC country is going, what's going on at Oregon? The Midwest is saying, what's going on at Oregon? And then today, Oregon announces a partnership that Sabrina Ionescu is working on with Phil Knight to help facilitate NIL deals for their top athletes and recruits. 2023 is going to be a magical year for Oregon on the recruiting trail. Top three in the country, not out of the question. Top five in the country, I'm not calling it a gimme because things happen. But if Mario Cristobal and his staff stay together, this class almost can't help but be top 10. I mean, it's a lay-in for top 10. 2023 is going to be a huge, huge year for Oregon in recruiting. And they're not the only ones in this state doing well. Oregon State, making some noise, a four-star defensive lineman decommits from Utah, and before he even publicly announces he's decommitted, he gives Oregon State a call. I'll tell you what they talked about and what the Beavers' chances are to land their first ever high school four-star defensive lineman. Next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 10A The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Oregon State, suddenly, not just like a plucky maybe bowl team, but if you look at their schedule, they could pretty easily go 6-3, 7-2. To start this season. Now, things get a lot tougher at the end, but man, they have come out of the gates firing, and we're seeing that already pay dividends for Oregon State in recruiting.
In reality, if they beat Washington, they could go 8-1.
They could.
Yeah.
Because it's what? Cal and Colorado and Utah, and they all are bad. And Wazoo. Yeah.
Yeah, if they beat Washington, they'll be favored in every game up until that last couple, right?
Yeah, I think I looked at a stat.
Maybe up until the Civil War.
I don't know where I saw it. It was somewhere on Twitter. Somebody posted that Vegas does lines for every game the rest of the year. Oregon's favored in 9, so every game the rest of the year. Oregon State, as of right now, is favored in 8 of their games the rest of the year. Second in the Pac-12. Some of it is that the schedule broke right for them, and some of it is they figured it out and they're playing good football. And Coach Smith and Coach Lindgren came out with a great game plan against USC. They were able to attack USC on the ground a number of different ways and keep their heads spinning. Chance Nolan ran some play action just when USC, their safety sucked up just too much. Their linebackers were just a little too worried about the run game. They go ahead and run play action, and he made them pay. Four incompletions, four touchdown passes for Chance Nolan. He's a sophomore, and he's their future. And you look at it, and again, in the hashtag recruiting matters world of things, Chance Nolan was the number one junior college quarterback in the country. That's not a player Oregon State typically gets. They got him. He's good. Tyjon Lindsey, former four-star recruit. In fact, at one point, he was a five-star recruit. He's been phenomenal. B.J. Baylor had a number of offers, although B.J. Baylor is more of that hidden gem, to be completely candid. But they've had a number of guys step up. You know, Treshawn Harrison had a huge game, or at least had a hugely highly graded game, I should say, for PFF. They rated him, I think, the number two performer in the entire Pac-12 offensively in terms of his PFF grade. He was a former Oregon commit. He was one of the top 100 kids in the country, big-time athlete, committed to Florida State. So everybody can say recruiting doesn't matter a ton. These are just gritty kids, but it's funny. Oregon State has since loaded up on a bunch of high four-star level transfers, and suddenly they're winning again. It's almost like whether guys pan out at their first stop or not, star rating matters. And we're seeing that and the benefits of that in this recruiting cycle, because right after that, a few days after Oregon State beats USC, Asiya Moa, a four-star defensive lineman committed to Utah, calls up the Utah coaching staff and says, hey, I'm going to decommit. I am going to look at some options. BYU and Oregon State are probably his two main options, at least right now. But before he publicly announced it the next day, he called Oregon State. Hey, guys, I'm interested. Not only am I interested, I'd really like to visit. Interest? And of course, Oregon State says yes. So Asiya Moa, four-star defensive lineman, is going to try to set up a visit here this fall to Oregon State. To give you an idea, and this did blow me away. Lynch, I don't know, does this kind of stuff blow you away, or do you go, yeah, dude, no duh. We all know kind of how different schools recruit. Asiya Moa is a top 300 recruit nationally. He's not a top 250 kid. He would be tied for the seventh highest rated high school kid Oregon State's ever gotten. He would be the highest rated high school defensive lineman they've ever gotten. And he would be the first ever four-star high school defensive lineman Oregon State has ever signed if he were to choose Oregon State. Does that blow you away? Or do you go, yeah, dude, Oregon State has always kind of struggled with recruiting. That's the narrative.
I mean, it blows me away a little bit because they've had windows of great seasons. But, you know, it's little old Corvallis, right? Hard to get recruits to a small town in Oregon, especially, you know, competing against some of the other schools and bigger cities in the conference. So it's a little surprising, but I guess I could see it.
Tied for seventh ever of high school kids. Now, there are JC kids who are rated higher, but tied for seventh highest rated recruit ever, and he's like 287th nationally. It's just wild to me. And it's not a knock. I'm not knocking Oregon State. I'm not. Sometimes I look this stuff up and I'm kind of blown away.
Well, I think the other problem too is, I mean, problem's not the right word, but the other reason is, when did we start tracking this stuff?
You're right.
So
the first real recruiting rankings came out in 2001.
Yeah.
So when we say ever, it's like
the last 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. Right.
10, 20 years.
Seem to remember there were some pretty good players on that Beavs team that year.
Yeah. Well,
year before.
You know what drives me completely nuts is when, it's always old time dude will email me, and it's Duck people and it's Beaver people. It's always an old timey guy. And he'll be like, in 1978, Parade All-American listed this guy as a first team running back, and he went to Oregon. First of all, if you look at Parade All-American now, oftentimes that has nothing to do with recruiting ranking. A guy has a dominant season because he plays in the middle of nowhere and he's a first team All-American, and then in recruiting rankings he's a three star. So you can't do that. Second of all, nobody knew who the top recruits in America were. No one knew. No one knew in 1974. Sure, there were years where there was like an Earl Campbell and everybody wanted Earl Campbell, and you knew, but people will be like, in 1976, the Beavers signed this kid and he had an offer from Oklahoma. And I'm like, okay. I have, okay, but was he third or 180th? You have no idea. So anyway, when I talk about ever, you're right, Mike Lynch, it's from 2001, but it still surprises me. It still surprises me. And maybe I need to adjust a little with that, but a CMO, regardless of where he ranks historically, if Oregon State is able to pull that off, and BYU is a strong contender here, I don't mean to say it's a done deal. It's not. BYU very much involved. But a CMO is a big-time player. And if you start to pull in some high school guys, and you don't have to pull in 10 a year, 15 a year, and that's not the way they're going to do this. They're going to try to get a handful of those guys a year, get a solid group of developmental players, so maybe get 3 or 4 impact freshmen. Get 8, 9, 10 high school kids that you think will add depth by year 2 or 3, and hopefully 1 or 2 of those guys pops and is a star down the road. And then the rest of your team, 6, 7, 8 a year, are transfers, and they're former 4-star recruits. You've got athleticism. You've got talent. You've got a large... your talent spread out. You've got a large area to choose from in terms of you'll get some guys that are seniors, you'll get some juniors that develop, you'll get some sophomores, and you'll get some impact freshmen, and you're able to balance your classes doing it that way, which is difficult, but if you're able to do it, that might be a recipe for Oregon State to be good. And I think that's what we're seeing. And people can say, well, you know, you've been wrong about recruiting. Look at the O-line. I've said Oregon State's O-line recruiting has been bad, and their O-line's been very good. So what happened? Well, recruiting rankings deal with high school kids and junior college transfers. Brandon Kipper, one of their tackles, very good player, transferred from Hawaii. Nathan Eldridge, probably their best lineman at center, was an all Pac-12 performer at Arizona before he transferred. He was already an all Pac-12 player, and he transferred. And then Jonah Gray, their other tackle who's emerged, is their best offensive line recruit in like 10 years since Isaac Siamalu. So recruiting matters. Their best recruit is good. And then transfers help. And they've done a very good job adding talent via the transfer portal. And I've got to adjust going forward, when I talk about signing day, and I think I've been pretty fair. Last year, Oregon State finished 12th outside the top 100 in recruiting. I know some sites killed them. I know I read an article from a paper in Oregon that wasn't the Oregonian that absolutely blasted their recruiting. And I went, listen, they got 11 good players, and then they saturated their talent. They saturated their roster with talent via the transfer portal and got a number of good transfers. So Asiamoa is one to watch. He's not a transfer. He's a high school kid, 4-star prospect. They are also hosting 2 official visitors this week in Sam Mason, a 3-star wide receiver, Cole Prusha, the Tualatin, Oregon Gatorade Player of the Year out of Tualatin. He decommitted from Oregon State, committed to Princeton. Clearly, they are willing to take a receiver if one stands out. Sam Mason has offers from Colorado and Michigan State. He's one to watch. And then Dallas Vakalahi, a 3-star defensive tackle, 6'2", 290 pounds. That's going to be a tough recruitment, but they need defensive tackles. And if you can get one and you can get a developmental one, that's a good piece to get. So those two players visiting Oregon State this weekend, definitely a big weekend, not only for Oregon State hosting those visitors, but also Oregon. I know they're on the road, but awaiting word on an All-American Bowl selection at linebacker with Devin Jackson. So that gives you a rundown of what's going on with the Ducks and Beavers in football, in recruiting. Switching gears just a little bit here, there's a big-time event this weekend in Portland for basketball recruits. It's the Primetime Top 40 Showcase. All of the top players in Oregon are competing at an invitation-only camp. So joining me in the next segment will be Reggie Walker, the camp organizer. Interestingly enough, last year when the 8th grade rankings came out, an Oregon kid was listed as the number 2 8th grader in the country. Yes, it's too early. Yes, he's probably not the number 2 player in the country, because I would say that about anybody who was listed at number 2 in the 8th grade. Things change. But there's some real up-and-coming talent in Oregon. So we'll talk to Reggie about who's going to be there. We'll also talk to him about some of the talent that's come out of Oregon here recently, including Jackson Shellstead, who's visiting UCLA this weekend. Jackson Shellstead out of Westland High School. quickly becoming one of the top guards in the entire country. What's going on in his recruitment? Obviously, he's visiting UCLA. Who are some of the other contenders? Again, that's Reggie Walker coming up next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Big time basketball prospect event in the state of Oregon this weekend, the Primetime Top 40 Showcase. Joining me now is Primetime Sports and Director of the Les Schwab Invitational, CEO, Director? We're going with Director of Primetime Sports? CEO of Primetime Sports? What are we calling you, Reggie?
Definitely not the CEO, Director of the basketball tournament. Good enough for me.
I wanted to throw letters on your name, man, to give you CEO. Reggie Walker, man. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this event. I'm going to cover it. It's the first time I've covered a basketball event in quite some time. This has kind of been your baby here for the past few years, and this year's event's pretty exciting. I guess I'll just give you the floor. What is this for people who don't understand totally how these kind of events work?
Sure. Basically, so this will be the fifth year of the event. Started it in... first year was 2015, and we had to take a year off last year due to the pandemic. Honestly, the event was created just as a way to kind of shine the spotlight on some of the players that we had in the state at the time that were maybe under-recruited or, unknown. And honestly, we used the spotlight of that Peyton Pritchard had at the time. He was a ranked player, potential McDonald's All-American, USA basketball selection, pretty big deal. Not only, in our area, but nationally. And with him in our state, we, elected to create this event and kind of used him as a way to get some notoriety for a lot of the other players in the state that deserve the attention. And ultimately, it kind of benefited a bunch of players in his class, even some kids at his high school. And then it trickled all the way down to the younger players. I think we invited three freshmen that year. And all three of them ended up being Division I players. And I think they kind of got their feet wet and, the people kind of found out about who they were as a result of this event. So I'm really looking forward to bringing it back this year. And it's just good to be back, like you said, be back in the gym.
There was Peyton Pritchard's year, and then there was a little bit of a lull for a couple of years where there wasn't a ton of talent in Oregon. And you said, and beat the drum for the kids, there are a number of freshmen and eighth graders and seventh graders coming up who are going to be very, 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 very good. And sure enough, we're seeing those guys now get recruited on a national scale. But this event, as you said, is shining a spotlight on the next wave. And there's another pretty good wave, next wave of Oregon kids coming. This wave isn't falling off. There's going to be a number of great players coming up. Who are some of the young kids that are going to be at this event that people will need to watch 2, 3, 4 years from now as national potential recruits, or at least as guys that maybe if you're a Pilots fan or you're a Duck fan or a Beaver fan, you should probably be watching going forward?
Sure. We'll start with the sophomore. If we're doing, the younger guys, player by the name of Terrence Hill, who's at Roosevelt High School. He's like a 6'2" point guard, real heady, kind of plays at his own pace, can really shoot it, can really pass, just has a really good feel. Portland State just offered him the other day. He's got an offer from University of Portland. University of San Francisco has offered him. He has ways to go, but I could see him being like an Oregon State level recruit. If he becomes more athletic and has some team success, which they should this year in high school, and plays well, at the Les Schwab, and then continues it on into the state tournament and then into AAU, I think he could really blow up. Another player that, we're really excited about for the event, he's actually volunteered as a helper when he was in middle school. We just had him out there, in the drills with the guys, rebounding. Now he's getting a chance to play in the event. Is a kid by the name of Jalen Atkins, who is a freshman at Barlow High School. He hasn't even played a high school basketball game yet. Has offers from Washington State, University of Portland, San Francisco, Oregon State know who he is. We're really excited about him. He's had a lot of success in the, middle school basketball world, which doesn't always translate. But Jalen is, it's just an incredible young guy. I think he understands the gifts that he has. He has the right approach. great family. I think he wants to be great. He actually played on the Pro-Am team in the Portland Pro-Am, which was the summer, with Peyton Pritchard and Ben Gregg and a bunch of the guys that have kind of accomplished some goals that, you know, he's set for himself. So he understands what it's going to take. And this will just be a good introduction for him into, you know, the basketball, high school basketball scene in the state of Oregon. So it's exciting to have him, you know, participating this year.
Jalen Atkins is an interesting one. We're talking to Reggie Walker of Primetime Sports and the director of the Les Schwab Invitational. Jalen Atkins is a big one because the San Francisco Chronicle called me this summer and was like, one of their sports writers, and was like, do you know this Jalen Atkins eighth grader kid is? And I was like, hi, I'm Andrew Nimick with the Oregon. They're like, yeah, we're not worried about that. We want to know who this Jalen Atkins kid is. And I've heard the name. I know he's supposed to be a very, very good eighth grader. And apparently the Bay Area had a kid that was supposed to be the number one player in the country. And at the time, one of the recruiting services listed Jalen Atkins at number two. And they wanted to find out from me if Jalen Atkins was like the real deal. And I said, yeah, he's very, very good. He's also very, very young. Let's pump the brakes here on this number two in the country stuff. But he is going to be a national recruit. He's already got an offer, heavy interest from the Ducks and Beavers, offers from all over. He's going to be a national guy. Where he fits on the spectrum, we don't know yet. But it is exciting when you've got other big newspapers calling about eighth grade kids from Oregon. It's a pretty exciting deal. Barlow certainly got a good one. In terms of some of the older kids, or maybe even going a little bit outside of the state of Oregon, I know there's a kid out of Washington, Curtis High School, Zoom Diallo. There are a number of other kids, older kids as well. Who are some of those guys that maybe people should keep an eye on that, again, we could maybe see in a Duck uniform or a Beaver uniform or Vikings or Pilots or, heck, could be national recruits somewhere else?
One player that I think, you know, part of the allure of this event is, you know, the big names, who we've talked about. And like I said, we used, you know, Peyton Pritchard as a way to kind of get the notoriety for some of the other guys in the state at the time. I think one player that can really benefit, who I think highly of as a basketball player, who doesn't have any Division I offers at this time, you know, I think he would if it weren't for the pandemic last year and just everybody getting a year back and just recruiting being in a weird spot right now with college basketball. But I think Luke Johnson, who's a senior at Central Catholic, like a 6'7", 6'8", forward, got a great feel, can shoot it, confident in himself, has a toughness and seriousness to him, pretty good approach, seems like a good teammate, like I said, skilled. I think he can really do well for himself at this event, and you know, maybe catapults him into some recruiting that he doesn't have right now. So, I mean, that's another thing we're excited about, you know, doing this event. In terms of a player who I think will burst maybe and become a national-level recruit is a kid you mentioned, Zoom Diallo, who's a sophomore at Curtis up in Tacoma. He's just really athletic, kind of plays the right way, but plays, you know, his style of aggressiveness. Kind of like a Russell Westbrook mentality out there. I think he'll open some eyes. I don't think a lot of people, you know, even regionally are aware like how good he is. And then another player who I think will do well, who's a young kid who has a chance to be, you know, a national level recruit, is a player by the name of Legend Smiley, who's a freshman at Garfield High School. He, you know, again, hasn't played a game of high school basketball yet, but has the pedigree. His dad played at USC. He's going to Garfield, which is like a nationally recognized program. I think he's got a chance to open some eyes. And, you know, he's been playing against Jalen since they were, third graders. You know, he's hung right there with him. He's grew a couple inches. And he's one of those where he's just a prototype. You look at him and you automatically see, like, high major player. It's obvious. It knocks you in the face. And I think he can do really well for himself at this event as well.
We're talking to Primetime Sports and director of the Les Schwab Invitational's Reggie Walker. I wanted to ask you about Jackson Shellstead, class of 2023 player, Westlyn High School. I first started hearing about him when he was like in the sixth grade, is when people started hitting me up. Basketball starts earlier. Football, I don't get too many parents that send me film of sixth graders. But I was getting, and not even from his dad, just from folks in Westlyn, like, do you know about this sixth grade kid? And I was like, honestly, I don't. Maybe I should have, because now he's one of the top players in the entire country visiting UCLA this weekend. He's visited Oregon. He's visited Oregon State, offers from both those schools. He's got some blue blood offers and interests now. How good is this kid? From the looks of it, when I watch him, he's just so dang smart. Like, everything he does, you know, he reminds me a lot of Peyton Pritchard. Everything he does, though, on the basketball floor is like, wow, that was a smart decision. Wow, that's the right time to pull this out and reset. Wow, that was a good time to attack. Wow, that was a really smart pass. Everything he does is just like almost off the charts IQ-wise. And it kind of sounds like, from what I'm hearing, his athleticism is starting to match. And that's kind of coming now, too. What is this kid?
He's really good.
He's
just a really good player. I think he's going to light the state on fire this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he has some 50-point games. He can really score. He's gotten so much stronger and so much more athletic. He just has a quiet confidence about himself, and I think he holds himself to a really high standard with accomplishing his goals, like, not only as a team, but his individual goals. I think he wants to have big games. He wants to, his first game ever at the Les Schwab, I mean, he's 14-year-old freshman. They're playing Norcross, who has an NBA player and, a bunch of other high major kids. And Jackson, I think, scored 20-something points, had them within a 5-point game. I think he missed a three at the buzzer, which would have sent it to overtime. And that was his introduction to the big stage of high school basketball. So he's got a chance to be, one of our, elite players in the history of the state. And I don't mean to be hyperbolic. I really think highly of him. I think he's going to have his pick of where he wants to go for college. And he's, it's a bummer not to have him the event this weekend, but, totally understandable. He's going to be on a visit at UCLA. But I think from what I've seen, and, I don't see everything. I was at Peach Jam, which traditionally has the best players at the event. I think he's the best guard in his class. And I think he'll end up being, a top 15, top 10 guy by the time it's all said and done.
So five-star recruit. I mean, that's five-star recruit territory.
He's a five-star recruit. I don't know if all the publications have him listed as a five-star, but he eventually will be. It'll be evident to everyone after this year, especially after this high school season and went into his, last year of club basketball. It'll knock everyone in the face.
Well, the offer sheet is there. I mean, he's got the offer sheet. You can compare his offer sheet now to five-star guys, and it matches, and in some cases exceeds. So it's there with college coaches. It's not quite there with the recruiting services quite yet. Reggie Walker of Primetime Sports, the director of the Les Schwab Invitational, thanks for joining me, man. I will see you this weekend, and then we have to talk again to do a follow-up on who stood out, whether that's an article or you join the show. We'll figure out something, because I'm sure there's going to be listeners who definitely want to know who some of the standouts were and who is the future of Oregon high school basketball.
No, absolutely. Appreciate the platform. Always down to talk hoops and, anything that benefits the kids in my area. Like, I want to do so. Thanks for having me on.
Sounds good. Thanks. Bye. I love Reggie. Reggie's a good dude, man. I have enjoyed going to the Les Schwab Invitational for years. He's done this Primetime 40 event, and he mentioned it and then reiterated it, because I focus so much on the national guys, that this event has done a great job at getting a lot of folks to it because of the national guys. And then while those people are there, it's like, oh, this kid could play at a D1, a smaller D1, but this kid looks like a D1 guy. Maybe not for Oregon, maybe not for Oregon State, but maybe Santa Clara could use a forward, and because of that, it has given a number of athletes a lot of opportunities. And it's something that I know Reggie takes pride in. It's one of the kind of hidden things of my job that I really appreciate, that I really like, is I'll go to a high school football game, different sport, same deal. And I'm there to see, Talanoa Hufanga when he's at Crescent Valley, or I'm there to see Wes Lynn and see their superstars. And then because of that, I see 3, 4, or 5 kids that I think are small college players, and I'll pass them on to coaches. And that then later leads to an opportunity for them. And that's really one of the blessings of being in this position. That's one of the blessings that Reggie Walker takes from his position that he's done a really nice job with, is he takes it personally in this community about finding a fit for the athletes that come out, and does a really nice job behind the scenes. One of the most influential people in Oregon basketball. and doesn't get enough credit. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to talk about that camp, because I think there's going to be a number of kids that are big time kids that we all know 2-3 years from now that we don't necessarily know right now. Oregon women's basketball added a big time commitment. Oregon and Oregon State have like two of the top five recruiting classes in the nation for women's basketball. I guess it shouldn't surprise people, because there was a game a couple years ago. I know we're not supposed to call it the Civil War anymore. There was a game a couple years ago with the Sabrina crew and Satu, and then Oregon State had Destiny Slocum and those folks. And on the roster, they had more than 10 five-star recruits. And in the starting lineups for both schools, 9 players in the starting lineup were 5-star recruits. I don't think people realize how good Oregon and Oregon State recruit in women's basketball. They are way up there with UConn and Tennessee and Baylor and Louisville. So Oregon State's got a couple of monster commitments. Oregon counterpunched this week and might not be done. I'll talk about Oregon's recruiting class in a little bit of depth to wrap up the show next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
The Oregon women's basketball program landed a big commitment this week. Now, if you don't follow that very closely, Oregon already landed Chance Gray, a point guard who's the number 7 player in the country. She'd be the highest rated commitment in program history, other than, second only to, Sabrina Ionescu. So she's pretty good. Chance Gray out of Ohio. Already had her in the fold. Jenna Asai, the number 35 prospect in the nation. A little bit banged up early in her career, and then because of COVID has not really been out in the tournament, you know, the AAU circuit as much as some other athletes. And so because of that, there seems to be a number of coaches, particularly in Arizona, that area where she's from, that think she's quite a bit better than 35. She's the number 35 player in the country. ESPN, to give you an idea, they give 5-star status to the top 52 recruits in the country on signing day. It starts at like 4, and then it goes to 13, and they slowly lower it until signing day. They drop it down to 52. They do it every year. I don't know why that's the way they do it. So Jenna Asai, pretty comfortably a 5-star recruit on signing day, a really talented wing. And then this week they landed 6'7" post Kennedy Basham. Really hurt my feelings. A Beaver fan messaged me and said, you're going to need a step stool to talk to her. Yes, I'm 5'8". And yeah, you're right. No joke. Often during basketball season, I actually kind of have a sore shoulder because I hold up a recorder to talk to basketball players that are taller than me. And sometimes I'll have long conversations with them and I'll have to hold my arm up. And so I switch arms and stuff. And if I do that for the Les Schwab Invitational,
yeah, Mac, that's so cute.
By the end of the Les Schwab Invitational, I have a sore shoulder from holding my microphone up in the air. For real. Yeah. The Ben Simmons year, because, you know, Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown were there a few years ago. I had a sore shoulder from holding my microphone to high school kids.
I'm so sorry, man. Yeah.
So it really hit home that they were like, oh, you're going to need a step stool. It's like, honestly, to not have a sore arm, I might.
Well, you'll still probably have a sore arm. I've done that before. You go do like the press scrum and you've got like 50 reporters and you're reaching in as far as you can.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then it has nothing to do with height as much as just you're holding your arm out for 10 minutes trying to keep the best position without moving it at all, or else you lose your microphone spot.
Right.
That does hurt.
Yes, but when it's tall people, you're also up. So that's a little bit of an issue. So thank you. You're right. It is more of a holding a mic thing for a long time.
I made fun of you and also helped save it.
Yeah, it was nice. A mental step stool, as you will.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then so they land Kennedy Basham. She was the number 44 recruit in the nation when she committed to Oregon. And then like 12 hours later, she dropped to 58. I don't know why. I who cares? ESPN, what can you do? But that gives Oregon 3 of the top 58 players in the country, and they might not be done. They have another scholarship spot or 2 available as far as I can tell. So they might take 2. But the one to watch is Grace Van Sluten, who visited in June. She's the number 13 player in the country, a bona fide elite 5-star recruit. I don't necessarily think that she's a slam dunk to commit to Oregon by any stretch of the imagination, but she did visit, and she's the highest rated player left in 2022 who has already taken a visit to Oregon. Somebody to watch. Also, Bria Cunningham, the number 4 prospect in the nation for 2023, took a visit. A former teammate of starting point guard Tina Pau Pau. She's another player to watch. Number 4 player in the country. Next week, we're probably going to be talking about the fact that Devin Jackson, an All-American. Oh, no, we're off next week. No show because of the Seahawks game. We'll be back in 2 weeks. There will have been a lot that went on, and we'll have to recap all of it. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Appreciate you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.